Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God which is set before us this morning is from the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, verses 31 through 33 and verse 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And these, the goats, will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, the sheep, into eternal life. Rather early this morning, Chaplain Malstead called me and reported that he was ill, and would I please take the pulpit for him? And I'm not sure what it was, what he was thinking about so early in the morning to think of me first to preach about the sheep and the goats. Well, we should start out by asking, what's the difference between sheep and goats? So we can start out this way. Sheep give us wool to keep us warm, and goats have horns and a reputation for eating the inedible. Sheep are cuddly and lovable, and goats are rambunctious, shrewd, and independent. But since I'm not qualified to teach zoology, we won't carry that any further. And besides, that's not quite the kind of difference that Jesus has in mind in his picture of separating the sheep from the goats. There really isn't anything wrong with goats. We get good milk and cheese from them. But they are surely as much a part of God's creation as sheep are. But the Holy Spirit, in his wisdom, through the holy writers of the Old and New Testaments, has chosen to make sheep a primary metaphor for his believers, both in the Old Testament and in the New. And goats very often stand as an image for the stubborn and the recalcitrant. And we must always think of the goat sent off into the wilderness bearing the sins of the nation of Israel. Now, this lesson, which is actually quite long, includes the well-known picture of the day of judgment. To those on his right, the sheep, the judge says, "Come, you blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For I was hungry, and you fed me, thirsty, and you gave me something to drink," and so on. And the righteous ones then say, in surprise, "But Lord, when did we do these things?" And then he turns to those on the left. "Depart from me, you cursed, for I was hungry, and you did not give me anything to eat," etc. And the goats, perhaps in even deeper shock, said, "When didn't we feed you, clothe you, take care of you," and so on. Now, the point of all of that in this parable is that at the judgment, a separation is going to take place. There are two sides: an eternal separation from God himself in pain and torment, or an eternity of peace and blessedness in the very presence of God himself. And what is this difference? The natural opinion of human nature is that it has something to do with whether or not one is good or bad. Most people realize that nobody can be perfect, but they do think that if you are a basically good person, Then you will go to heaven. But woe be to you if you are a bad person, which usually means not quite as good as I am. Now, according to Jesus, that isn't the basis for this great separation that takes place. The sheep, the good people, remember, didn't know that they were doing anything good. And the bad people, the goats, of course, didn't know that they had not done anything good. Now, of course, it's on the basis of righteousness and holiness and purity of heart and purity of life that the sheep and the goats are separated. The sheep are righteous and the goats are unrighteous. But what kind of righteousness is it that makes the difference? It's a righteousness which, if I look at my own self and my own actions, I am not at all aware of having done anything good. All these good things you are describing, Shepherd, I didn't do any of them. But the shepherd knows that. The righteousness, the goodness, and the holiness that he sees in the sheep is the righteousness and holiness of his own life and his suffering and his death on the cross. It's not as though only the sheep could have that righteousness. The goats could have it too. In fact, it was given to them, but they rejected it. They refused it. Perhaps one of the reasons sheep are used as a metaphor for the believers here and elsewhere is that they are trusting. Sheep trust their shepherd. And the goats, on the other hand, are independent and wily and, it seems, bent on evil. I'll do it my own way. The believers, the sheep, are simply those who trust the promise of the shepherd, who accept and believe what he offers in all simplicity. The goats, the unbelievers, want to go their own way. They really do believe that they have a righteousness which would be acceptable to God. And if they are going to rely on their own goodness and righteousness, then they have no use, no need of the righteousness for the righteousness of the shepherd. There is only one righteousness with which any of us can stand before God on that day of judgment: the righteousness of the shepherd, the righteousness of our blessed Savior, the righteousness of the one who was born of Mary, who walked the paths in Palestine, and who went to the cross. Nothing in any of us makes us sheep or goat, but God has promised that in his Son's perfect living, in his humble suffering, and in his excruciating death, there is a righteousness which has atoned for all sinfulness and all of my disobedience against God. His righteousness covers me so fully that the works that I do every day, corrupted by my sinfulness, are purified so that the judge sees them as good, even though I can only see the sin in them myself. But that is what it means to be, at the same time, saint and sinner. The wonderful shepherd comes to me every day to assure me of the righteousness of his righteousness in his word and sacraments. And every day I live under the promise he made to me in my baptism that I am his child, that I am his little lamb, and that he regards me as a righteous perfect, holy saint for the sake of his Son. Look for his righteousness there in his word and sacraments, for he promises to give it, and he does give it so that it becomes your very own. To him alone be the glory. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Stir up, we beseech you, your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and be saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.